By his word, I have no fear in me. By his word, death cannot swallow me. By his word, I've been set free. See what happens when you start a good thing, it's sometimes hard to stop it. So by his word, death cannot swallow you. Is that true?
Yes.
I didn't hear you.
Yes.
Yes, by his word, death cannot swallow you.
Amen.
But you know what precedes that? By his word, I have no fear in me. Let me tell you, when these people write these psalmists, write these wonderful songs, these wonderful psalms, they're just in touch with the heart of God. And you can find so much wonderful scripture, so much wonderful theology in the songs. And the writers may not understand it. The one we had earlier where we did the dance around the room, okay, about the blood, the water, and the spirit. That is so powerful. You know, if you've been to healing school semester 3, you know how powerful that is. The blood, the water, and the spirit. 3 that bear witness on earth. The water, the blood, and the spirit. And the 3 that bear record in heaven. 1 John 5, 7 and 8. 3 that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Spirit. Some Bible translations have left those scriptures out. They don't know what to do with them. Praise God, we do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've taught us. And when you see, by his word, death cannot swallow me. Why? Because by his word, you have no fear in you. Because all fear comes from the fear of death. But God, Romans 8, 15, God has not given us a spirit of bondage again, a spirit of bondage again to fear, but a spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Daddy. 2 Timothy 1, 7. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind, for you have the mind of Christ. And verse 10, for death has been abolished. Death has been abolished. So let's sing those two first lines again, okay? Just the first two lines. By his word, I have no fear in me. By his word, death cannot swallow me. Just makes you want to go on, right? Now, you notice the person who was standing up here singing, leading the singing, was me? Twas I? I was the one.
Yes. Yes.
What you just saw was a tremendous miracle. Let me tell you that we need to get rid of every ounce of fear out of us. I had cast out a number of demons, you know, over the first, 20 or so years of my ministry. And they were pretty easy, you know. Demon come out in Jesus' name and they go. Strangers in churches, out of myself. That wasn't so easy. That took 15 minutes. But I really did not know much about cleansing and casting out demons. And, you know, I'm from another country, a small country. And they have a thing there they call duppies. And duppies are the spirits of people who have been departed. And they don't have a place of rest, so they walk around doing mischief and scaring people. Just doing the things that duppies do, okay? And so I grew up in that culture. And I mean, if I was a kid, I heard all these ghost stories. And I mean, I got saved, got rid of my fears. And I thought I was doing pretty good. I got to the point where I thought, you know, I'm not scared of these dopey things anymore. I could even go into a cemetery to prove it and sleep in a car at night. I thought that was pretty brave of me. You know, I'd face guns, knives, I mean, all sort of things, you know. And then I got into cleansing. God said, I want you to go to a cleansing ministry and get involved. So I went there and I went through it. I believe we stopped counting at 15 times. 16 times we stopped counting, which was what? Three times a year, I think? No, twice a year. Mm-hmm. Whatever, yeah, twice a year, right? Mm-hmm. Well, maybe more than twice a year, because we may have been going to more than one at a time. Anyway, we stopped counting at 16. But I remember the very first one I went to, my brother Ray, who had been through it, he said, when you go there, go up for every altar call. For every prayer line, go up. I hope you know what I'm saying. We are talking about myself. I'm not really talking about myself. You understand? Well, let me put it bluntly. When we're a prayer line here at the retreat that's coming up, go up for every prayer line. Because some of you don't seem to get it, okay? So, I went up for every prayer line. I even thought about going up the one for the ladies. You know, ladies only. The man says, every prayer line, should I go up? No, you know. You know, there's the law. Go up, but then there's a spirit, you know, wisdom. No, it's for women, so I'm not going up. Then there's one for everybody. Only one I did not go up to. One. Fear. I ain't got no fear. I mean, my word, how could I have fear? You know, God says, take a bus and go to this really bad part of town. When you get there, you're going to be attacked by two men. And I did it. You know, I did things that were, in the natural, pretty bold. Now, I did it in the spirit of the Lord, not in me. Don't misunderstand me. But I thought I got over fear. So I did not go up for fear. Retreat was over. I went home. Within 48 hours, I had committed a sin. Based on what?
Fear.
Fear. What a good class we have here. Based on fear. The fear of offending people. Somebody said something as the assessment of a situation based on what somebody else had said or done, and I knew that if they knew the truth, they'd be severely hurt, so they assessed it this way, and I said, okay, I agree. It was a lie. I didn't agree. It wasn't true. They had an inaccurate perception. All I said was okay. All I grunted, uh-huh. It was a lie. Committed a sin of fear. And I felt like a worm. And I learned I had fear in me. And I started learning about fear, and man, did I find fear after fear after fear after fear after fear. And some more after that. A lot of fear. And then God started teaching me about fear, and I learned that all fear comes from the root of the fear of dying. Every fear comes from the fear of dying. And we have no fear of dying for two reasons. One is, for a believer, to die is just a transition to heaven, which is what it's all about. Saw a movie which featured the Jamaican Posse, which was a really bad gang. It was I used to be in martial arts when I was in college, and I liked the Steven Seagal movies. It was one of his movies, and he was taking on the Jamaican Posse, and this bad guy with the dreadlocks on the whole thing, you know, he's got his knife, he's about to stab this lady, and she's screaming her head off like anybody else would do, right? And he said, what is this? Everybody wants to go to heaven, nobody wants to die. You know? Which really struck me as very interesting. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. I mean, he's doing her a favor, he's sending her to heaven. She didn't see it that way, okay? So anyway, I ended up ministering, by the way, in the area where the pastors came out of, okay? And so I went up in that area, and eventually I led a lot of people to the Lord. It took three major miracles before I could go in there without being killed. Because the last minister, last pastor that tried to go in there, which is from that country, they respected the fact that he was a man of God, so they did not kill him. But they did tie him up, and they did beat him, and they did send him back out. So it took three major miracles for me to go in there. Eventually, I led three gang leaders to the Lord, each through a miracle. And they opened up the air for me, and I went in and led a whole bunch of people to the Lord. First person raised from the dead in my ministry was there. First person with blind and both eyes who got vision back was there. And so I had a little church, which was more like two sides on the top kind of thing. And we had a service one day, and the Lord says, I want you all to sing by His word. I have no fear in me. And I said, great, Lord, but what if the song leader doesn't know the song? He says, no problem, you sing it. Now, understand this. I had a tremendous fear of public speaking because I was kicked out of a choir in front of everybody when I tried to sing. It affected me totally. When I went to college, I never took a class where I had to get up and speak or stand before the class, not one. And I almost never asked a question in college. And I could give you a lot of stories about my fear of public speaking. But more afraid of public speaking was the fact that I was afraid of singing. I wouldn't even sing in the shower by myself if there's nobody home. I was afraid of singing. Demons had taken hold of me. And God knew that, and God wanted to set me free. And all this I did not know. I just knew I don't want to sing in public. So I get there, and of course the song leader didn't know the song. So I said to him, I'm going to sing this song, and you try to get it and come up with your own tune to it. And so I mustered all the courage I could and all the faith I could, and I stood up in front of this crowd, close to 100 people, I think. And I started to sing. By His word, I have no fear in me. By His word, death cannot swallow me. By His word, I have prosperity. By His word, sickness can't dwell in me. By His word, I have victory. Oh, whatever. By His word, I've been set free. I missed the last two lines off a bit here. Wasn't what I was trying to do, but you get the idea. And when I opened my eyes, almost everybody was crying. Everybody I could see was crying. The anointing just fell and people were crying. I think I was the only one who wasn't crying. And I said to the song leader, can you lead us in the song now? You got to get a tune and go with it? He says, I can create a tune, but what's wrong with the one you just use? Oh, that was a revelation. I had a tune. And that was a changing point in my life. Because you see, the walk with God is a walk of change. And you have to understand that and accept it and go with it. Each of us need to change. Death can't swallow you, but you got to keep changing towards God. You take a step towards God, God take a step towards you, to quote Deborah in her teaching from Friday. So how close you get to God totally depends on you. How many steps do you want to take towards God? Me, I want to get as close as I can. How about you? Well, to take a step toward God, it means giving up something. It means changing. But everything you give up is something from the devil anyway. What do you want it for? Fear is not from God. You need to move towards God. You need to change towards Him. Please open your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 21, please. So we are in the series on living on and not dying. We're in the series of living and not dying. We're in module 29, which means this is the 29th day that we're spending on it, and we're in part 9F. Part 9 is the power of the word, and this is number F, whatever F is. the time we're teaching it, on the power of the word. The word is meant to wash you and wash me and change us so we can get closer to God. We need to get closer to God so death can't swallow you. You need to get closer to God so that sickness can't dwell in you. You need to get closer to God because you need to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, because that is His directive to you and me. Now, as we give up the things in our life that get between us and God, which is called consecration, and as we have the commitment to maintain the consecration, then we get closer towards God, and we shall live and not die. I want to make this clear. I'm going to talk about the rapture for a second. I'm not saying that when you point yourself to the rapture, that by pointing yourself to the rapture and being raptured, you live and not die. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that when you decide I'm not going to die, and the devil can't kill me, then you'll be remaining true to the gospel, and you will be alive at the rapture. It's a question of which comes first, the horse or the cart. You want to put the horse before the cart. The horse is the devil can't kill me, because death has been abolished, and death can't swallow me. By His word, death can't swallow me. By His word, I have no fear in me. You get rid of the fear, you realize death can't swallow you, and then you'll be alive when the rapture comes. The church as a whole has it backwards. They think that because they're a believer, that the entire salvation package belongs to them, which is true, and they believe that in the salvation package is the right to be raptured, which is true. But just because it's in the salvation package doesn't mean you're going to get it. Jesus Christ died so that every person on earth has a salvation package. Any person on earth can choose to accept their salvation and get their salvation package, or at least start on the journey. But every day, people turn their backs on Jesus and die and go to hell. Every day, people, instead of looking to their believers, instead of looking to their salvation package, they look to the system of mammon. Instead of working and doing all unto the Lord and trust Him to provide your needs, people look for a company that they can work for who will take care of their needs. That's putting the cart before the horse. It's always chasing the giver, and the gifts always chase you. As you come towards God, the gifts are coming behind to chase you down. So our job is to chase God. We chase God by letting the word wash us. And in the process of the word washing us, it will wash out all fear. And death can't swallow you. When you know that death can't swallow you, when you're bold enough to say, the devil can't kill me, without a lot of fear grabbing your inwards, and you can say, the devil can't kill me, then you're on the right track. I remember when I first started saying that, people would say, don't say that, you're going to get him mad. Let me tell you, he's mad already. Not only is he mad, he's crazy. He's a crazy devil. But I've been saying this now for what? I don't know, 20 years, 25 years? So make no mistake about it. The series on living and not dying is teaching you, you don't have to die. Because you don't have to die, you will be alive and remain when Jesus returns. And then you'll be raptured. And when you're raptured, you'll be an overcomer. And you'll not be subject to the second death. The benefits of this series is not so much in this age as it is in the next age, next two ages. It's not so much in the age of grace as it is in the age of law, which is coming up soon, when the Antichrist is on earth, we'll be under the age of law. And then in the millennial kingdom, we will be under the rule of the rod of iron. So where you want to practice it, and where you want to come to the point of realizing the devil can't kill you, is now. Because now, as you're moving towards it, and you're practicing the fact that the devil can't kill you, taking this series, doing what the series says, if you make a mistake and you fall, grace is your safety net, and it bounces you back up like a trampoline. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Righteous man falls 7 times, but the Lord raises them back up. We're in the age of grace. But the church as a whole has a cart before their horses. They think, because I am saved, because I'm a believer, because of a salvation package, because the rapture is in a salvation package, I'm going to be raptured. And my question would be, who's your healer? You still get sick? You still challenged with finances? All those things are in your salvation package. Perhaps you have not been chasing the Lord enough. Perhaps you've been chasing the gifts and not the giver more. Perhaps just a matter of standing in faith and patience. Because it's the patience that's going to keep you in the evil times ahead. So yeah, one can practice patience overcoming a challenge in one's body. One can practice patience overcoming a challenge in one's family. One can practice patience overcoming a challenge in one's emotions. So yeah, all these things can help you practice patience. And maybe that's all there is to it. But you really want to be sure that you're really chasing God and not the gift. But if you know you're chasing God, you're chasing the giver and not the gift, and you're doing your best to draw closer to God, and God is the focus of your life, then yeah, treat all these things as just practice for growing in patience. Because patience is super important. Patience, as you all know, is referenced in the book of Revelation 7 times, more than any part of the fruit. Faith, I believe, is 4 times. It's your patience. So as we're focused on the return of Jesus Christ, and as the great majority of people know think that we're going to be raptured out of here, I want to just highlight 2 scriptures to you. You all found the book of Luke by now? You thought I forgot, right? The book of Luke, chapter 21, verse 36. Okay? Luke 21, verse 36. Everybody got it? Watch you therefore and pray always. This is the chapter on the ending days, okay? Verse 36. Watch you therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all those things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Now, notice there's a work here. It's not just a salvation package. Every blessing of the salvation package belongs to you, but is manifested through partnership. And partnership really means believing the Word of God, acting on it. In other words, it's works of faith. So, it says pray always. So you want these things, we need to pray. Pray what? That you be accounted worthy. Well, in our salvation package, we're worthy. We're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But obviously, we need to do more to bring it into manifestation. So you pray that you may be accounted worthy to escape all those things which shall come to pass. The church as a whole think we're going to escape all these things by being raptured out of here before the tribulation, before the bad times. Escape all these things and stand before the Son of Man. But no, God wants overcomers. The fullness of your salvation package is manifested is when you have all the inheritance. That's the fullness of the salvation package. When you have the entire inheritance and access to it, then you have everything in your salvation package. How does that come about? Revelation 21, verse 7. He that overcomes shall inherit all things. Yeah, it all belongs to us. We're joined heirs with Jesus, but you don't inherit it. You don't grow up as a son to have the entire salvation package unto you an overcomer. The process of overcoming is a process whereby you mature. He that overcomes shall inherit all things. And I shall be his God, and he shall be my son, my adult in my family. So we get the entire salvation package when we overcome. Overcome what? Everything. Let me tell you. Running out of the earth, leaving the earth before the rapture, because terrible times are coming, is not overcoming. Moses and the Hebrews went all the way through the same plagues. They were there in Egypt the entire time when all the plagues were hitting Pharaoh and Egypt and the Egyptians. They went through the whole thing. That's a foreshadowing of us. We are overcomers. We are prepared to overcome every challenge. What is going to keep you from these things is your faith and your patience. The word of your patience shall keep you in the day of evil. The word of your patience. With your faith, all things are possible. So here's the scripture that says, watch and pray always. That would have no meaning that I can think of in the context of a pre-tribulation rapture where the people are taken out of the earth and they escape all the challenges. In fact, why watch and pray? It belongs to you anyway. According to the grace theory, the overemphasis on grace, you don't have to do anything. So why pray? Let's go, please, to the book of John, John chapter 17. I'll show you one other scripture which is not on your outline. John 17. Here's a prayer of Jesus. John 17, verse 15. John 17, verse 15. Jesus is praying to the Father for us. He prays in verse 15. I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from evil. I mean, how do you explain that in a pre-rapture tribulation theory? Jesus is praying, I pray not that you should take them out of the earth, but keep them from evil. Lord's Prayer said, Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Yeah, deliver us from evil. Keep us from evil. Not take us out of the earth, because by now you all know what we teach here, what the scripture says. We shall go up and meet him. The word meet means to go up, welcome the conquering hero, and bring him back into the city. We go up and meet the conquering hero, King of Kings, and escort him back down to earth. That word meet is only used four times in the scriptures. In 1 Thessalonians 4, where it says, go up. In 1 Thessalonians, where it says, we shall go up and meet him, okay, in the clouds. It's used there once, it's used twice in the story of the 10 virgins. They went out to meet the bridegroom and bring him back in. And the fourth time where the city went out to meet Paul and escort him back into the city. So, we're going to go up and meet the Lord and bring him back down to earth. Escort him back down to earth. So I believe that Jesus' prayers were always answered, and his prayers, not that Father should take us out of the earth, but that we should stay in the earth and be overcomers and be to the earth today what Moses was to the earth in the days that the Egyptian delivery. So that's why you want to be alive and remain. Not because of a fear of death, but to help prepare the way for the return of Jesus. And if you want more on this information, you know, check out the Book of Revelation series. So with that, we're going to continue our teaching. We're in Module 29, Part 9F, Warfare and Prayer. So from the overview, the key to unlocking the benefits of this inheritance is your tongue. Is your tongue. Speaking the word of God, affirming about you what God says about you. You want to say about you what God says about you. And Hebrews 5 says that strong meat belongs to those who by use of exercising it can differentiate between good and evil. A lot of good, a lot that appears good isn't quite good. Let me put it to you this way. What if all the people who believe they're Christians and they're going to be raptured and they don't have to do anything, and it turns out they're wrong and they haven't prepared and they don't know how to overcome challenges with the Word of God, they don't know how to manage without hospitals and medicines, they don't know how to pray for their provision as Elijah did with ravens and Noah lamb did with rats bringing our food, and all the various things that the scriptures have shown us to do, to be dependent on God and nobody else. What if they can't do any of that and hard times come? What do you think is going to happen? And my answer is, you can see what's going to happen by what's currently happening. Look at all the Christians around the world who have never been taught really how to pray properly. And look at all the terrible times they're going in all over the world. Today there are about 2,000 Christians martyred per week. 2,000 per week around the world. No, it's a wonderful thing to be martyred for Jesus. If you are given an option of deny Jesus or die, and they choose to die, that's wonderful, they're a martyr. That's the second best calling in these Daniel days. But perhaps many of these are not even given an option. You're from a Christian village, they come in and kill everyone in the village. Is that happening? I don't know as a fact, but I surely don't doubt it. They're being killed because they're called Christians. They may know nothing about Christianity. So we need to understand the inheritance comes by using the Word of God, and you use the Word of God, you exercise it with your tongue by speaking it. You want to see yourself through the blood of Jesus. You want to see all your capabilities, everything you have, all your potential, all your right through the blood of Jesus. See yourself through the blood of Jesus and describe yourself through the blood of Jesus. How do you do that? By saying about yourself what the New Testament says about you. You've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. I'm more than a conqueror. Why don't we do that right now? If you'd like, I'm going to just say some scriptures and you'll follow me, okay? So, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm not aware of any sins since I last confessed. Footnote, don't repeat this. Because if you did, you'd have confessed it. So you should never have any known sins outstanding in your life. Jesus took all my sins. I am the righteousness of God. In Christ Jesus. I am an ambassador of heaven. I'm an adult in the family of God. I've chosen to be a loving, forgiving person. And because I've been forgiven everything, in Jesus' name, I choose to forgive everybody. Whatever offended me, by word,
by action,
by inaction, from my heart in Jesus' name, I forgive them all, and I bless them all. I have forgiven them. That means I've forgotten the incident. Because I've forgotten the incident, if the thought comes back to me, it's not my thought. It's the voice of the enemy. And in Jesus' name, I bind up that demon and cast them out of my home and out of my life. I invite the Spirit of God to fall fresh upon me. And in a step of unity, why don't we all lift up our hands? In Jesus' name, I invite the Spirit of God to fall fresh upon me. The Spirit of peace and healing and power. In the name of Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. In Jesus' name. Rivers of warm oil. Of peace. And healing. And power. Saturate my head. Inside and out. Saturate my mouth. Tongue. Lips. Everything to do with speaking. Flow down to my throat. Saturate my voice box. Flood my arms. Down to my fingers. In Jesus' name. Rivers of warm oil. Of peace. And healing. And power. Fill my upper body. Saturating all the organs. Including my cardiovascular system. My respiratory system, flowing down to my lower body, saturating all the systems, all the cells, all the organs, healing, restoring, rejuvenating, flowing down to my upper legs, my knees, my lower legs, my ankles and feet. I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. God is my strength, my personal bravery, my invincible army. Jesus is my Savior, my Lord, my cleanser, my deliverer. The one who provides for me. He is the bright morning star. He is the King of Kings. The Lord of Lords. He is my high tower. And in Him, I am a super conqueror. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Feels good? Praise God. So you see yourself through the blood of Jesus, okay? Remember that God will not act in your life in contradiction to your word. And the devil also cannot contradict your word. You must give the devil permission to attack you. When you speak the symptoms and the problem, you are giving the devil permission to attack you. When you speak the word of God, you're preventing him from attacking you. But just as you have to give the devil the right to attack you, so also you have to give God the right to help you. Because if you have free will. If in your free will you choose, I don't want God's help, I'm going to do this by myself, or I don't want God's help, I'm going to rely on the doctor, then that's what you get. You get what you choose. Choose life, choose death. Choose blessing, choose cursing. Choose the word of God or something else. You speak what God wants you to speak. Yeah, if you go to the doctor and say, God, I'm going to the doctor and I'm asking you to help the doctor to provide the right medicine to heal me. That's okay. It's not God's best, but at least you're doing it correctly. But ask God to help you change step by step. So you're so lost in Him. So much of your day is spent lost in Him. That you can walk in joy, peace, and patience. And no matter what people say, it doesn't offend you. It runs off your back like water off a duck's back. And when you start to do that, then you start to be so dependent on God that pretty soon you won't be dependent on anything else or anybody else. God wants you to be so lost in Him. Can you imagine Moses coming out of 40 days in the cloud with God and coming out and saying, "Oh man, I have a toothache." It's incomprehensible. Because the glory of God drives out all sickness, disease, and infirmity. Therefore, lose yourself in the cloud with God. That's why BUSY, a great acronym, is being under Satan's yoke. The more you're busy, is the less time you have to be in the glory of God with God. And the less time it is for God's power to saturate every cell, organ, and system. Okay? So, just a review of last time from part B. The Word of God is alive and powerful. It's a seed that you can sow in your life. The Word can be used like a surgical scalpel to remove anything, cancer, blockages to your arteries. The Word may be used as a battering ram to tear down every demonic stronghold. Part D, the Word of God is used for casting down imagination and any high thing that exalts itself against God. You take the land little by little. The kingdom of God is like a seed. It grows little by little. Little by little, you draw closer to God. Little by little, you lose yourself in His anointing. Little by little, you take back what the devil stole from you. Regardless of whether it's finances or health, ability to move, you take it back little by little. You overcome by the blood of the Lamb and your testimony. And to do that, you can't love your lives unto death. You have to love God more than your life. You have to love the Word of God more than your life. Your words protect you from the destroyer. Your words resist the devil. Your words silence the avenger. Your words keep you out of snares and troubles. Your words deliver your soul, and as your soul prospers, so does your health and your finances. And so part C, fervent prayers. You want to change your inner man, your outer man, and the circumstances of life. And this is done as your spoken word is confirmed by the Holy Spirit. When you speak the Word of God, over 40 wonderful things happen. One of them is the Holy Spirit confirms it. We've looked so far at 9 on the first outline, 10 in this outline, and here we're going to go to another 10 really fast. Changing part C, fervent prayers. Changing your inner man, your outer man, and the circumstances of your life. You can change the circumstance of your life. The best way is to pray in advance and declare the end from the beginning. And call things that be not as though they are. Don't wait until you have a problem before you start praying. Ask God, you know, it's like the guy who ran down to the water and jumped in a boat and starts paddling across. Halfway across the lake, it starts to sink. There's a hole in there. And he prays for help. God helps him. But a better way is ask God which boat should you take in the first place? Which canoe should you take in the first place? Take the one without the hole. That's the way our lives should be. Let's find out what God is going to prosper, where God wants you to be, and this way you want to be. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And starts by confessing your faults one to another. Pray for one another, that you may be healed. Part A. Your tongue guides your life the way a rudder guides a ship. James 3:2. For in many things we offend all. If a man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. That's what we want. We want to be healthy in every cell, organ, and system. And we want the Word of God in our mouth. We want the mind of Christ in our head. And we want our hearts filled with Christ. That's a good description of a perfect man. So if you don't offend with your word, the same is a perfect man. If you keep speaking words that are barbs to people, if you know somebody has a hot button and you keep pressing it, you're backing off from being a perfect man. James 3, verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasted great things. Verse 8. But the tongue no man can tame. Get this. Your tongue guides your life the way a rudder guides a ship. Your tongue guides your life the way the bit guides a horse. Death and life are in the power of your tongue. But no man can tame their tongue. Like it is impossible for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. But with God, all things are possible. Therefore, the only way your tongue can be controlled, the only way your tongue can loose all these wonderful blessings in your salvation package in your life, is to have the Holy Spirit control your tongue. I've been teaching here for years that you need to walk up to praying in tongues an hour a day. Non-stop, 1 hour a day. No, the rest of the time when you're washing dishes, praying tongues. But that doesn't count in your hour. When you're driving your car, sing psalms, pray in tongues, or do affirmations. Praying in tongues should be a background thing you do all the time. Unless you are singing psalms, doing affirmations, or having minimal conversation with people. The word minimal means meany. Little bit. Okay. Yeah, we do have to say some words to people. But we should try to keep that minimal. Because we want our tongues free to be speaking God's word. So, if you're here today and you haven't arrived at the point in time where you're spending 1 day, 1 hour a day praying in tongues or trying to get there, I think that you might want to change your goals. Okay? Because your tongue is guiding your life. And the Holy Spirit needs control of your tongues. And there are only two good ways that I can think of, that I know of, that I teach. One is praying tongues a lot. And two is do affirmations on your tongue. In the name of Jesus, God has made the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart pleasing to Him. In the name of Jesus, God has put a watch on my tongue lest I sin against Him. You know, if somebody gave you a brand new Ferrari, they can do what? 160 miles an hour, 200 miles an hour, I don't know. And you get out there on the highway, it has an automatic pilot. And the automatic pilot takes over and slams the pedal to the floor. And it takes off and is doing 120 miles an hour. Down the highway, and you're sitting back watching it. See, the automatic pilot is controlling your life. Now, if it suddenly goes out of control, you better grab the steering wheel really fast. You know, if you're doing 120 miles an hour down the highway, and you're an automatic pilot, that you have to be prepared to take over. Well, your tongue is on automatic pilot unless the Holy Spirit controls it. Your tongue is guiding your life at a rapid pace through life, through all the minefields of life, through all the snares and the challenges of the enemy. Your tongue is guiding you towards some destination. But who's controlling it? Who's the automatic pilot on your tongue? Is it the Holy Spirit because you've been doing affirmations and praying in tongues a lot? Is it you because you're trying to control your tongue and the scripture says no man can control his tongue? By the way, it means no woman also, right? Or is it the Holy Spirit because you have asked Him to do it and because you do a lot of praying in tongues? You know, if your goal is not to pray in tongues 1 hour a day, and you, or if you haven't been doing it, on both, I'm very disappointed in you. Because I've been teaching this here for 20 years. Okay. Okie dokie. That applies to everybody. My staff, from the youngest person to the oldest person. Some of you on the internet are very new. You maybe never heard that. But if you've been in healing school, you should have heard it. It's really quiet. Okay, so your life is on the automatic pilot of your tongue. Every morning you get up, you say, who do I want to control my life today? And then take action based on that. Okay, part B. The word of God is life and health to your flesh. So, my son, attend to my words, incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Keep God's word in the midst of your heart. For they are life and health to them that find it. It's life and medicine to your flesh. Well, we like the medicine part. We understand that here. The word of God is medicine to your flesh. Because the word health here can also be translated medicine. It's life and health to your flesh, or life and medicine to your flesh. But in this series, we're not focusing on the medicine. We're focused on life. The word of God is life. Jesus is the word. Jesus is life. And that life belongs to you. And the name of Jesus belongs to you. Speak life. Let the Holy Spirit control your words. Do affirmation and pray in tongues. Remember, we teach, when it comes to problem solving, if you know the problem and the solution, which is the scripture that applies, you do affirmations. If you know the problem and you know the solution, you do affirmations. If you don't know the problem, or you don't know the solution, or both, you pray in tongues. You can only use affirmations if you know the problem and the solution. Otherwise, you pray in tongues. So, Matthew 12:34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So, of course, we want the word of God in our minds. We want our minds to be renewed. We want the word of God to sit in our heart. And we want the word of God to come out of our mouth. Why? Because for you, by your word you shall be justified. And by your word you shall be condemned. Justification belongs to you. It's part of your salvation package. Righteousness belongs to you. It's part of your salvation package. The whole salvation package belongs to you. But how do you walk in the fullness of the salvation package? How do you walk as if it's really true that you're justified? How do you take the righteousness that's in your spirit and bring it out into your flesh so you can manifest all the blessings of the salvation package? By the words of your mouth. By the words of your mouth. That's why there's life in the mouth, word of your mouth. Life is in the power of your tongue. The word of God brings success. Joshua 1:8, the book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. The word of God raises you from level to level, from glory to glory. Your affirmations help you to master a level of receiving before you advance to another level of glory. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glass being looking into the mirror of the word, according to James 1:23. You look into the mirror and you see what it says about you. It says you've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. That's the mirror, you're seeing it. But James says if you see it and walk away and don't do it, you're deceiving yourself. You got to see the words in the mirror and then you got to do it. And when you do that, it moves you from level to level, from glory to glory. So, we, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, the glory of the Lord. We have fallen short of the glory of the Lord, but Jesus died to restore us. We have fallen short of the glory of the Lord. But here it says now, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we are changed into that same image. The glory we see in here in the word that describes us, we are changed into that. From glory to glory, by the Spirit of God. As you see the wonderful words that are written about you, that God has given you wonderful promises by which you might partake of His divine nature. 2 Peter 1:3. You see that. You see these wonderful things. You go from level to level, from glory to glory, as you see it, as you believe it, as you speak it and act in it, it takes you from level to level. Because we're no longer short of the glory of God. It's all there in your salvation package. God wants you to be restored to the glory that we had before we sinned, before Adam sinned. Because He is your jubilee. And you only get there by studying the word, seeing it, and speaking it, and doing it. That's another way of saying chase God. Spend time in the glory cloud. God wants to restore you back to that glory, because it is in your salvation package. The word of God helps you to discern between good and evil. There are a lot of wonderful men and women, much greater than I in many, many ways, who are teaching stuff from the Bible that they believe to be true, and it's not accurate. And just slight inaccuracy here and there can mean the difference between living and dying. And just because they have 20,000 people in their congregation doesn't mean they're speaking the truth or all the truth. Because if you go to a race, you get any bunch of people to run a race, any kind of race, let us take track because it's simple. When they run track, a few will be very fast and finish the race fast. The great mass will come in the middle, and at the very end will be some very slow ones. Where you see the mass, that is not the leading tip. That's not the best. That's the masses. And the masses in general are not feeding on meat, and certainly not strong meat. Hebrews 5:13, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a baby. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use, you have to do it. You have to study it, and you have to do it. You have to do it. You have to do the word. You have to do the word. You have to do the word. By reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. If you're in a church with 10,000 people and you're not acting on the word, and nobody's there is acting on the word, except maybe a small part of the word, you can't see what they're doing that's wrong, because you're all doing what's wrong. Now, you may be doing a part of it that's correct, and I'm sure they are, but the strong meat is escaping them. And the strong means, the strong meat is what spells the difference between living and dying and being here when Jesus returns. The strong meat. So your spoken word is confirmed by the Holy Spirit. When you speak baby words, the Holy Spirit confirms baby words. When you speak meat, the Holy Spirit confirms meat. When you speak strong meat, the Holy Spirit confirms strong meat. Mark 16:20. And they went forth preaching everywhere, the Holy Spirit working with and confirming the word, with signs following. Signs and wonders always follow to confirm the word. Acts 14:3. They spoke boldly, followed by signs and wonders. Acts 8:12. Philip preaching, and miracles and signs followed. Acts 2:42. The apostles continued in the doctrine, and signs and wonders followed. Acts 4:29, guide us, Lord, to speak your word, and signs and wonders followed. You speak word over yourself, and signs and wonders will confirm it. You move from a land. See, when the Israelites went through the wilderness, they were fed and taken care of miraculously. Food fell from heaven. Doves came in and fell down. Water came out of rocks. Their shoes didn't wear it. All miracles. They were living by miracles, but they were kind of like barely getting by. You know, they complained, you know, we've been eating the same bread now for 39 years or whatever. Right? Yeah, it's a miracle. But it wasn't God's best for them. Why was it not God's best? God's best doesn't come from miracles. God's best comes from living by the word of God, by the fruit of the Spirit, moving from step to step until you're walking in continuous miracle. My life is such a continuous miracle that people don't really like to talk to me. Because when I tell them things, they look at me and they have no idea what to say. Particularly true in my family, my extended family. Because when you tell somebody, you know, it's been 44 years since I've gotten sick, been to a doctor, taking medicine. They don't know what is that. It's so outside their scope of knowledge. I'm talking about Christians, by the way. They don't know what to say. They're speechless. And then you don't want to tell them that I'm not going to die, because they really think you're weird. Yeah. You guys know what I'm saying, right? Of course. That's strong meat. Signs follow the believer. Mark 16:17. These signs shall follow the believer. First sign, in my name shall they cast out devils. If you haven't cast out devils, get busy. It's the first sign. Why would you not want to walk in the first sign? They shall speak with new tongues. I assume everybody speaking to me speaks in tongues. I can't imagine somebody at ABC who doesn't speak in tongues. If you are, please call me personally. Call me personally. We need to take care of that. To me, the question is not are you speaking in tongues? The question is are you speaking in tongues 1 hour at a shot? They should take up serpents. Listen, these things that bite shouldn't bite you. If they bite you, they should die, not you. If they drink any deadly thing, you shall not hurt them. You know, don't get worried about, I mean, live a nice, clean life. Wash your hands after you go to the bathroom, before you eat, bless your food. But don't get paranoid about drugs and diseases and bugs and microbes and all that kind of stuff. The Word of God says, if you drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt you. That includes a whole bunch of parasites, or whatever they are. They'll die. They shall lay on the sick, and they shall recover. I can't imagine anybody at ABC who hasn't done all these things. If you haven't, get busy. Manifesting grace. The Word of God manifests grace. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. You can release God's grace, God's help when they don't deserve it, by speaking words of grace. All the words we speak should be words of grace. You should never use a word that's going to cause somebody to stumble and fall. Because if you're sowing offense in that person, it's going to come back to you. What if you speak words and the person gets offense, jumps in a car, drives away and kills himself? How would you feel about that? Watch your words. Mark 11:24. And the title is Mark 11:24. It was meant to be the prayer of faith. Okay? Prayer of faith. Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, what things of you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. You believe at the point in time that you pray that you receive it. Therefore all your words from that point on should be according to the fact that you have already received. And you affirm thanking God for it. And call the things that be not until they manifest. You can't do any of this stuff if you don't understand Mark 11:24. Thank you very much, folks. I love you all, and I want to see you all with me the day the Lord returns. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.